Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers fascinated by how astrology unfolds in the daily life, in our personal world, and in the politics around us. And boy, is this a week when we can really see that unfolding. I'm joined tonight by Mark. You there, Mark?
Yes, hello, Heather.
Wonderful.
How are you?
And I see also Anne. Anne, are you there?
Hi, Heather. Here I'm at the bright red desk. Yep, here.
Oh, marvelous.
Okay. Everybody.
I'm recovering from COVID, so I'm going to let you both do most of the talking tonight. But it
you
is.
You caught it again, Heather?
Yeah, I went to, facilitated a wedding officiated one in Nebraska last weekend, and just about a third of the people came down with it. So even avoiding any group gatherings is still should be the motto, even in what looks like an okay place. But boy, it was a lot easier this time than it was the first time. It was mild after,
called antibodies,
after all my
baby.
Shots.
Antibodies.
Yes. Yeah. Antibodies. Yeah. You go antibodies, yeah. But it's still no fun. So we have quite a wild week, both, you know, in a personal life. Everybody's anxiety is off the charts about the election. But I think, you know, and I can understand why. It's a really important election. But a lot of it is also due to just feeling this resonance of that out-of-bounds Mars retrograde. Anne, you did a wonderful
out-of-bounds
piece on that.
Palsacena's out of bounds, too, is Lilith. So they're all three out of bounds. It's like a lot of out-of-bounds energy. Yeah.
A lot of out-of-bounds, and Pluto's close. And one of the things that, for out-of-bounds, for the people in the audience that don't know, we describe in the bounds as within the orbit of where the sun goes across the sky. But when you go above or below where the sun goes at the winter and summer solstices, then it is considered out of bounds or out of the rules, out of its wild card. The absolute wild card tends to rule itself. Trump has about, five planets out of bounds, four planets? He just feels like he's got that many. He's got a lot. Mm-hmm. So what are you seeing with this retrograde Mars out of bounds?
Well, remember, it rules the South Node. It rules all the Aries planets. The Venus, the Sun, the Mercury,
and
the
Scorpio.
Fate.
All the Scorpio,
Any planets in Scorpio in your chart are going to feel it, and then any planets in Aries. And right now, Chiron's in Aries, and Eris, the goddess of discord, is in Aries. So it's a very juicy little heavens up there, kind of popping and jumping and yelling. Yeah.
Yeah, and Mars and Mercury
And in Gemini, retrograde says go backwards, and of course Mercury, Mars are in mutual reception, so that kind of can make Mercury be out of bounds too, because you know, they all report into the out of bounds Mars, but Mercury and Mars can swap places, so it can be Mars and Scorpio, right, which is and Mercury and Gemini, which is his favorite sign. So it's a really interesting sky. Yeah. Cray cray, as
and,
you say.
Cray cray, and well put, cray cray. And the tomorrow morning, it's before polls open, the eclipse will have been at its peak. And I'm seeing, you know, there's so many cases of people acting out, like the death threats to the poll workers in Arizona. And already it's just cooking. But it may get better after, I mean, the peak looks like tomorrow morning. And, you know, I'm hearing so many people's nervous systems just fried. And it begin, it, you know, I don't think it's going to get much better for the next 6 months with that Mars, but I do think there's going to be a shift. By the end of next week, when Mercury and Venus goes into Sagittarius, I think we'll be able to kind of create some movement forward. Mark, how are you seeing this?
I think everybody's going to agree that it can't get any worse. So let's see how we can make it better. Sometimes that's what it takes, you know. The pendulum has to swing all the way. But then when you get the sense that it's about to swing back, you say, well, how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
mm-hmm.
when it's still swinging away from center, there's a feeling of helplessness.
Yes.
Yeah, and as it shifts back, it gives a shift. And then the thing to remember with the Mars retrograde, I did a speech on a lecture on this, is that every time Mercury changes signs between now and the end of March, Mars is going to get a different flavor. So every 21 days, he shifts it up. So right now, he's in this intense, passionate placement because Mercury's in Scorpio. But when it goes into Sag, it's a little more loosey-goosey, out of control. And Jupiter's in Pisces, which is actually a nice placement. So, you know, Venus and Jupiter and the Sun, as they move into Sag, and the new moon in Sag is right before Thanksgiving, the Wednesday, at 2 Sag. So hopefully, you know, that kind of shifts everything down. And, of course, we'll have the votes counted, except unless there's a runoff in Georgia. But, you know, I remember learning about eclipses in astrology, and then I remember there was one that hit a really particular sensitive point in my chart and being like, oh, my God. And all I could think of was the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz, and I do believe in eclipses. I do believe in eclipses. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, everybody has a, you know, once you get the eclipses, you're like, I do believe in them. I do. And this one's juicy because it's, you know, the moon and Uranus are joined. It's right at 16, right on a world point. So it's very popping things. You know, it's really popping stuff and bringing things to light. So not fun, but necessary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a sense of, I find a sense of urgency with eclipses, too.
Yes.
People really feel like they have to do something immediately. And I'm interested in the election because the Dobbs decision came out on the last eclipse. And so that eclipse opens up a story, and then this eclipse kind of closes it. So the one we had during the Trump impeachment was, they said, well, we're not going to vote to convict him, but if you don't like him, vote him out of office. And so then the next eclipse was the election, and we voted him out of office. Not that he agreed to leave, but we tried. Mm-hmm. And so this one, with Dobbs being released, reversing Roe, on the eclipses, of course, it's a Scorpio Taurus. You know, what are you making, Taurus, versus Scorpio not making or releasing? And so this eclipse is Uranus-Venus, Uranus-Moon. It's, the symbolism is certainly terminating what you're making, you know, or castrating what you're, because Uranus is a castration planet. So separating from what you're making. So it's certainly the eclipses in the sky, too. So it'll be interesting to see, with 55% of the new registrations being suburban women voters or women voters, it'll be interesting to see what happens at the polls tomorrow. So I'm ready.
Yes, it will be. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, often with the eclipses, you get a reversal of expectations. And so it really won't be something we can call ahead of time, whether it's the worst that we're thinking of or the best, you know.
Right.
And I'm just this is such a wild card with that Moon-Uranus conjunction and that lineup over there. And it is calling us to a new stability. It is a Moon in Taurus that likes the rule of law. You know, this is on the North Node in Taurus, which wants a new stability. So we can hope for that process. You know, the Scorpio on a good day, you know, we often say with Scorpio, it's the highest and lowest of the zodiac. And we see so much of the politics of Scorpio wasting its energy these days in resentment. And, you know, with Capricorn, we often describe if the Capricorn is intact with their sense of honor, then it calls them to the highest level of the Capricorn. And with Scorpio, are they self-responsible or are they ready to blame everybody else? And the Scorpio that's self-responsible really takes it on and pushes their own evolution and everybody else's. The Scorpio that wants to just hold everybody else responsible for their happiness or misery and not take it on themselves is the real shadow. It's the anger. It's the resentment. It's the mess of it. And so we really call people to self-responsibility rather than blame tomorrow.
Right. And the path of the vision of what you want in your life. What's the vision of what makes you feel inspired or makes you feel, you know, kind of a forward motion? You know, what is it you're trying to grow? And what would you like what you grow to look like? You know, so.
So go ahead.
There's also going to be a sense of group values that comes up again. So that people are going to say, well, I can't be the only one who thinks like I do. Let me go out and find some others.
Yes.
Find people
and
that think like me.
That's the Uranus.
Is that what you're saying, Mark?
That's the Uranus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are going to be looking for community, really, and for like-minded people.
Yeah. Like, who's my group?
We've gone through quite a few years now of division and dividing people. And I think we're tired of that. And Uranus is saying that. And Saturn is saying it, too.
Mm-hmm.
That there needs to be an order.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just remember song from the Lion, from the King and I. You know, you have to be taught. You have to be carefully taught to hate. You know, you have to be carefully taught. And it's like, what are we teaching when we do this kind of stuff? Are we teaching hate? Are we teaching love? What's our vision, you know, of what kind of world we want? So, and I think that's the part we have to vote with that heart of ours, you know, vote with our heart towards what is our vision. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting, you know. I'm like, it's the Pluto return to the country. I actually have an article. You guys are both going to like this. I have an article due into John Marcostello, the president of the New York chapter, for the member letter that we have. And I sent him an email. Can I send it in after the election? Because I was writing one scenario depending on one thing and one scenario based on another. And I was just, like, too nervous. I said, I need data and facts. I'm a little Virgo. I need data and facts in front of me, and then I can finish. And he wrote back, sure. So it's not really due till the 15th anyway. But, he sent a reminder. How's that article going? I'm like, yeah, it's not, you know. Well, it is. I've got the front end written. It's just the back end. I don't know.
Right.
With that Pluto return, with what we're going to do.
What we're going to do with it. And, you know, the election tomorrow is such a wild card that it could go in any direction. And it really will. It points out astrology does not predetermine. It brings up the issues, and we choose how we respond. And that's why I think it can be an illusion that you can predict too much about the politics based. Sometimes the marks are very clear. But often it is, how are people going to choose to respond to this? Are they going to respond with their higher evolutionary note? Are they going to try to just stay safe? Are they going to vote with their pocketbook? Or, you know, what about them is going to be activated tomorrow?
Well, the moon Uranus is what's going to be activated, right?
But that means change. Because
that's where we're headed. We're heading towards that north node. So then what are we releasing? What's that south node we're releasing in Scorpio?
And several people that are born tomorrow, what would you say about people with the eclipse? Their solar return.
It's a wild year.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a year. Yeah, it's a wild year. A lot of choice, I would say.
Well, I remember, you know, Leslie Jordan died, right?
And how did they go
eclipse that he had on his birthday this year, which was in the spring, you know, he bought an apartment. He did a rock album with Dolly Parton. And, you know, it's coming out. It hasn't been released yet. He had this big bloom in his career, and then he died. And I'm like, wow, that's a big eclipse here, you know. So not, and that does not mean people that have the birthday on the eclipse are going to die. That's not what's going to happen. But it does bring up stuff for all of us to kind of look at and go, okay, you know, what's that story going to be? And interestingly, it's big in Nancy Pelosi's chart. When she was going to Taiwan, you know, I was very worried about her because she had this eclipse. She had the Uranus, and it was, you know, she was going over there, and, you know, China was rumbling, and then, of course, you know, her husband got attacked with a hammer, and, of course, all last week there were hammers of Thor in the heavens. So, but it was, you know, she was having, like, big stuff in her chart, and I was a little anxious for her. I mean, she obviously got home from Taiwan fine, but, you know, she had an interview tonight on Anderson Cooper about, you know, the Capitol Police pounding on her door at 5 in the morning, and her
children,
her grandchildren. Yeah, not, you know, not her husband, you know. So that's the shock, the shock of the eclipse.
She has her moon at 18 Scorpio, Mercury at 17 Pisces, Venus at 20 Taurus. So her chart, and Jupiter at 17 Aries. So she really got rung by, like, a bell by this eclipse.
Yeah,
and again, there's an example that you can usually feel the eclipse days before as well as weeks after it hits in a chart. It sets up a resonance before and after. You can feel it coming. You can feel it half-life afterwards. That was also, what was it, 3 days after Mars went out of bounds and a few days before it went retrograde. Yeah.
Right.
So that was a powerful lineup. And I'm sure we've got some questions here from our audience. Shall we take a few, or do you want to keep talking because this is such an important process here?
Well, I think we also, you know, the other thing to remember as this eclipse gets set off, because the Uranus there, the Scorpio planets are all going to go opposite Uranus, but they're also going to square Saturn. And last year we had the Uranus-Saturn square three times. We had it in January and in June and then in December. And then this fall we've had them near each other, but not actually, you know, perfecting. But Mercury, Sun, and Venus, as they opposite Uranus, and then as they square, and then the Moon too, they square Saturn. So this is a giant T-square about our habits and our structures and the changes that we need to have made in them, right? And so it's a very potent T-square because it lays across the nodes of fate. So for those of you who are looking at your life and saying, well, what are the habits I need to change to make a difference in my life or to get to the new thing I need to go to? And so a lot of people are looking and going, I think I need retrograde Mars, I think I need to revise this, I need to make the change the commitment there, I need to do this thing over here. There's a lot of adjustments that are going on with this eclipse energy around how to change things, right? So
I've also noticed that with that lineup on the south node, between last eclipse and tomorrow, I've heard of so many people who had to let an animal go, or a relative die, or they had to let go of a dream so they could step forward onto something else.
Yep.
That there were a series of, you know, it is at a crossroads where you have to let go of one path to move forward. And there may be a time when you let go of something and you just have to sit in the dark for a minute before the next door opens. It doesn't mean it's not coming. But there's that pause, like the eclipse, where people need to just take stock. I had a busy week planned, and I had to take a week off and just pause and reorganize before I could move on. So mine was just plans, but I've noticed a lot of people with loss this week. And a lot of people that didn't lose. So it doesn't mean you have to, but that is part of the... Before you move forward, what do you have to release to create room for that forward?
Right. Well, what eclipse means is to leave, or it means to rise up, right? So it can, I've seen it happen where, you know, leaders step down and other leaders rise up into their place. That's a very common thing that happens with eclipses, you know. And so, you know, the movie, the actress breaks her leg and the understudy goes on and goes, da-da, you know, that kind of thing. So they're really interesting energies. And a lot of times, you know, having been in the astrology community for 28 years at this point, you know, I always watch the leaders change. You know, a lot of times leaders of organizations change or shift.
Yep.
So we had Donna Young got elected president of Kepler, the last eclipse, you know, Maurice left OPA. We also had Elon Musk take over in a rather messy format, Twitter. You know, and I'm like, Elon, clearly you don't have an astrologer, man. You know, like, what are you doing? Firing your people and hiring them back. But, you know, that's that energy, right? It's like, make a decision and change your mind. So, Mark, what do you think? Are you moved yet? Are you finished moved?
Yeah, we're still, it's a long process, but we're doing it.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I'm glad to see that these planets touch Uranus before Saturn. I think it's a good way to use that energy, because Uranus gives us the urgency to make changes and not to have to even see them through, but they go to a longer-term structure through Saturn. So ultimately, we're changing the way things are structured, but it seems more immediate.
Yeah. It is. Well, it definitely has that kind of popping energy to it, I think, too. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And with Pallas Athena hanging out in Cancer, you know, she is opposite. She's kind of opposite Pluto right now. So that's father's daughter, and that's the legal strategies. And just strategies in general, and she's answering to the moon that's getting eclipsed. So it's interesting because it's the I just think it's a fascinating sky. And I remember when the Gore Bush election happened in 2000. That one at 9:30 or 9:27 or something like that, Mercury went direct, and I was watching it, and the election results come in a bar near my house, and. That was when Florida called for Bush, and I screamed in the bar. I'm like, no, because I'm like, Mercury went direct. What? Bush is the president? You know, and that was, and I remember Michael Luton wrote, you know, Michael Luton of the Cone, you know, he's a brilliant astrologer here in New York, but he always does these very, what's the right word for it? He does these wise sayings that are a little, you kind of look at it and you go, and it was, the winner will be the loser and the loser will be the winner. That was his comment for the, you know, the Mercury retrograde. And everybody was like, what? You know, what are you talking about? And it was like, oh, okay, there we go. So yeah, I haven't checked to see if he has a wise cone for this election, but I'm sure he does. So, yeah. But it's definitely fun in the heavens. So
the net advice is follow your urges. And also look for other people who have the same urge.
Because then you will find your tribe in that place, right?
Yeah.
That's where they're living, right? So, all good, all part of we're evolving. It's our journey. We're all incarnated right now because we're needed on Earth to do this stuff. You know, that's the energy. That's why I'm here.
And one of the things I was talking about in this week is emotional stability is gold. That it's something, if we can infuse, you know, we're also so psychically permeable now with Jupiter retrograding back into Pisces close to Neptune. And that's brought in, I've just know that the group gestalt, you know, everybody's happy at a concert or, you know, nervous about the election, that we can really feel that psychic connection. But, and the anxiety this week is off the charts because of all the willpower going into this election. So anytime we can add things into that, we don't just have to soak it up. We can put things into it, to put prayer into it, to put vision into it, to put calm into it, to put the belief that we can survive this and go forward. That North Node in Taurus is, you know, what's going to make the difference is where can we be stable when others are not? How can we loan that stability both to our own hearts and to the people around us? in times of duress. So that's my pep talk for that.
I like that. I think that's good.
Yeah. Okay, do we have
like
a quick
that.
Question from a caller?
We can take one caller. We've got 5 minutes left. Let's see. Hello, 858, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi there, this is Kimberly. My birthday is November 2nd, 1967.
And time?
12.05 p.m. Glendale, California.
And what's your question, Kimberly?
So I have a specific question.
Is it Glendale and Humboldt or L.A.?
L.A.
Okay, great.
Okay, good.
So
thank you.
I'm actually locked down with COVID right now, and I'm kind of feeling like it's a good thing because
I'm with
you
there.
Mm-hmm. Losi, yeah. I've got my moon at 18 degrees, and I feel like my bell has been rung. But I'm also curious. I've been married 30 years, and my husband has his Neptune at 15 degrees, Scorpio, in his third house. And I'm just like, it feels like we're speaking. When you, Heather, were talking before, you said something about, you know, are you really ready to take responsibility, or are you wanting to blame? And I feel I'm really at this place of taking really sincere responsibility, and I feel like it's being deflected, and I'm being gaslighted all over the place, and it's really frustrating. Is that because of his Neptune?
That could be. And the one little nudge I would put to you is how you can go ahead and take responsibility for your side, but you know, watch the tendency to blame him for some unhappiness. What's his sun and moon?
So he is, I'm looking at his chart right now. It is, his sun is Capricorn. Capricorn's sun.
What, at degree?
Let's see here. I'm new at this.
So I'll just stick to your chart. You've got Neptune directly opposing your Venus right now. Neptune directly opposed your Venus and Pluto. And so there is illusion that's happening in the room. And there is confusion. And the temptation can be to drop everything and run. And I would just say, really work on the fog that's sitting between the two of you. And take responsibility for your end of it. But notice that sometimes when you take responsibility, you may isolate, you may leave him feeling isolated. So you take your responsibility, don't take responsibility for him, but see how can more connection be made? Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, you have to really be deft about handling that Pluto Venus conjunction in Virgo. It can be kind of an overpowering. You can overpower your mate, or he can overpower you. And you want to take the power play out of it and just say what's best for the two of us.
And also the eclipse is at 16. It's right on your ICMC, right? So it's what direction you're heading in and thinking about what was going on for you at 16 and then again at 46, 47, because there's a lot of energy around those times. And you are having Pluto trine your Uranus, so that often brings transiting Pluto trine your Uranus on your ascendant. So that often makes you really aware of when you're feeling manipulated or controlled. So that can be part of what you're looking at and going, you know, I'm feeling manipulated and controlled. You use the phrase gaslight. I'll go with that too. But I'm kind of feeling like I'm not seeing it clearly. So let me actually clarify what you meant by what you said, because you have progressed Mercury right now at 4 cap. So the Mercury goes, okay, so what I heard you say was this. Is that what you meant? Because Mercury is squaring your Saturn, right? So Mercury and your Sun is squaring your Saturn. Your progressed Sun is squaring your Saturn. So you're looking for clarification of things. And with your natal Mercury retrograde, you're going to pick up emotion and feeling as well as the words. And if he's a Capricorn, depending on what his Mercury's in, that can be, you can, if it's in Sag, you can
Aquarius.
Hear the words and they can fire you up. It's in Aquarius? Okay. So then you can hear the words as a little cold. And so that, and it's Aquarius, Mercury's going to be square your Scorpio stuff. So clarifying, well, what words were you using? And that will help calm down the misty fog stuff that Heather talked about with the Neptune and the Jupiter opposite your Sun. So
we're past our time. Good luck with that. Good luck in the clarity.
Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Everybody stay well.
And for everybody,
you're welcome.
Don't, you know, think about, like, with this woman, that it was kind of how to let go of the fogginess, not the person. And what in your life can you clarify without throwing out everything? Just what do you need clarity on tomorrow? And good luck. We'll see you next week.
Because you're
going to
get
Heather.
It.
Yeah.
You're
going like to
get clarity.
This is Heather from Ronan, Montana, and Ann?
Ann from the Bright Red Desk in Manhattan.
And Mark?
And Mark Wolf.
Above the Hudson River.
Wonderful. We'll see you all next week. And go vote if you
bye,
haven't.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a happy eclipse. Okay.